Blog Talk Radio.
There he is. How are you, sir?
Hey, Ben. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, good, man. Good, man. Let me give you just 1 second. I'll back it up and count us down, and we'll get cooking here.
Okay, perfect, man.
Welcome into another edition of the Panda.com podcast. Happy Friday, everybody. It's August, and 3 weeks exactly from to right now is game day for Georgia State, and we're pleased to jump straight to the line and talk to the director of athletics for Georgia State, Charlie Cobb. Charlie, how you doing, man? How's everything?
I'm doing great. Probably like everybody else, staying up a little too late watching the excitement from the Olympics, but everything else, we're doing great. It's an exciting time, obviously,
yeah.
Around campus.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. So your Olympics, and then obviously preseason football, which we've been told over and over again, which is an appetizer. It was good to see a couple former Panthers get some playing time last night, and Will Lutz just miss a 53-yarder. You know, you're a fan of this program, and you get to know these kids and things that way too. How exciting is it to see guys like that, especially in a sport that you played on the professional level?
Oh, I think anytime you get a chance to live out your dream, especially as an athlete, whether, you know, obviously what we're talking about with the Olympics or getting a chance to play in the NFL is just it's childhood dreams. And you watch some of the excitement and certainly some of the drama that comes from the competition. You realize how much, or you try to think, I think, how much these people have invested in the time and the sacrifices. And I think that's a lot of times as a sports fan, you may not realize. You think you turn a game on and you think, okay, they're ready to play, but you don't see the hours and hours and hours of preparation that others might. And I think it's always exciting when you see the level of commitment pay off for kids.
Well, in that same vein, you know, we talk about it all the time on our boards. The summertime, you know, you're not going to see it unless you see pictures or guys putting things on Twitter or gals putting things on Twitter. But, you know, the fall sports, I mean, you already had a soccer exhibition match already take place, and Panthers came up victorious there on the road. And these seasons are coming very, very quickly, and they may not be in the consciousness of the average fan. How critical and how important is it for you guys, and I'm sure you've seen it in all the sports, folks around the, you know, around campus, putting in the work that no one, you know, necessarily will report on or see. You know, do you kind of get a sense by seeing certain teams or programs and who's putting the work in?
Without a doubt. I mean, I think it's incumbent upon the kids to be motivated to make themselves better, and certainly our strength staff. You know, I'll talk a little bit about football and basketball, but our two strength coaches have raved about the work ethic of their kids. It goes back to the type of kids we're recruiting, but then also goes back to the caliber of our staff. And Nate and Scott have done an unbelievable job of just getting our guys ready. And I encourage anybody who's kind of curious, there's a scrimmage tomorrow, but there's also the big open scrimmage next Saturday on the 20th, where everybody gets a chance to see these guys. And you know, everybody's got a favorite player, too, and to realize here's what you think they look like. And then to see them out in the scrimmage, physically, we look like a football team. And it's a testament to, what the kids have done and the type of kids they are, but also to Scott and the staff for what they've really invested with those kids, because there's a lot of time spent May, June, July, getting ready for August and beyond. And it's just it's exciting. It's exciting to see.
No question, and I echo your sentiments. Was out there yesterday morning, and just physically seeing the team size, speed, guys that can move in space, you know, different positions that again, they, you know, for lack of a better phrase, like, you nailed it. We look like an FBS football program, and, you know, kind of building on that. And I did want to ask you, you know, expectations, at least in my opinion, have ramped up, you know, with the finish last season, a four-game win streak in November. You know, what are your expectations? Not specific wins and losses. That's kind of up to the fans, in my opinion. But, you know, what are your expectations for this football program to build off of 2015?
Oh, I don't have a problem saying I think everybody's expectations here, and most importantly, our coaches and our players, their expectations to have a successful year, have a winning season, play in another bowl game, compete for the conference championship. I mean, they're not bashful about saying it, and you know, I think there's two ways you can take it, and the way that I see it is the kids have earned the opportunity, the coaches have earned the opportunity. I mean, we're knocking at the door. We played everybody in our league. With the exception of one toe-to-toe last year, we can compete with anybody. Our schedule is a little bit difficult coming out of the gates. The Ball State game is critically important, you know, for all of us to get off on the right momentum and start the season the right way. But, you know, we have winnable games, many winnable games on our schedule, and we certainly expect to be, you know, competing for that championship and playing in another bowl game.
Well, and with that vein, you talked about the Ball State game, and I totally agree with you about the critical importance. I think something that is involved in this, and I think you and I have even talked about it, just the way the schedule breaks and that Ball State game kind of sits by itself for more than a month, and then fans don't actually have an opportunity to see this football team, was it 34, 35, or however many days it is. It's such a long time away from the dome and away from almost consciousness, if you think about it that way, where folks are going to have to follow on the road, going to Air Force, going to Wisconsin, things like that. You know, how do you and your staff try to make that, or do you guys make that a, you know, a destination event? You know, over and over again on our boards, everyone loved what happened at the Cure Bowl, the atmosphere and everything like that. And I remember you very early saying, look, it's very sterile in the dome. It's very quiet. You know, the atmosphere is almost like a library, you know, and you know, working toward building that, you know, is the Ball State, I mean, for lack of a better term, is that the event? Are you guys focused that way and saying, look, we know we have such a long time between game one and game two, home game one?
Yeah. You have to look at it. In my opinion, you have to look at it in kind of segments, if you will, for the home games. Every campus, that first home game, especially if you play opening weekend, is a critical weekend for fan engagement, and especially here for student engagement. And so we spent literally hundreds of hours trying to work with the different organizations on campus. We made some great strides and great relationships with campus. And if you're a student at Georgia State, the first 2 weeks you're on campus, you're going to know there's a football game on Friday night in the dome. Excuse me, sorry. And we're going to make sure that we do everything we can to get our kids there. We obviously are pushing tickets and selling tickets every single day. It's been a focus for the last 3 months. And then we got a few tricks up our sleeve, if you will, in terms of the game atmosphere in the stadium. And you have to recognize – sorry. But you have to recognize that, you know, Falcons are playing Thursday. We play Friday. And then, you know, the Chick-fil-A game's on Saturday. And so we're going to be a little bit rushed to get some things done in the stadium. But we're going to make it happen, and obviously it boils down to how we play. You know, we play well. People leave with a winning taste in their mouth. They're happy. They're willing to come back. We're on the road for the next 3 weeks, you know, as you mentioned, but we're also, you know, people can watch it, whether it's on live television or over ESPN3. So they'll be able to see the games and see our team compete and play. And it's everything builds to that middle of the season where we've got a pretty good stretch at home. And we've got games that we can win and compete in. We don't think there's a game on our schedule we can't compete in. So, you know, anxious to get it started 3 weeks from tonight. And, you know, it's awesome. I mean, it's why we do what we do.
No question about it. Well, because we take questions from our boards, because, you know, I am a servant of the people, you know, I'd be remiss to not ask you about Turner Field and what's the latest status there. It's been awfully quiet from the Turner Field side of things. I know that's a university conversation, not necessarily athletics, but is there a latest? Is there any update there at all as we sit here in August?
Yeah, I don't think there's really any update. We continue, you know, every day to work along, and it's you know, it's exciting if and when that opportunity comes about, but every day is a step forward in the relationship and making it a reality. And we, you know, we push with the eye on the prize of one day, you know, Georgia State football playing in what is now Turner Field. And so, you know, a lot of things have to happen behind the scenes, but they're all moving in positive directions. And there's nothing that should give anybody alarms. But it just, things like this, the scale and the project of this magnitude, it takes time. And that's what we refer to sometimes as active patience. But it will happen, and we're excited about what the future can be.
had truly had a fun back and forth 2 weeks ago with one of the parents, and someone reached out to me on Twitter and said, yeah, have they started on construction at Turner Field? And I asked him, I said, well, at best case scenario, the Braves still play there, so we can't really boot their current tenant out. And then we also have to purchase the land. So as bad as the Braves season has gone, you certainly can't, you know, kick them out before their season's over. Wanted to ask you specifically, I know a little bit of changes, you know, and I'll say it on my side of things, the parking situation around the Dome has just been a challenge for the last few years. You know, I know in the previous seasons before you got here, they tried to build a game day atmosphere in what was the former Gulch. Well, obviously, you can't get back there now because of the stadium construction and things like that. What was kind of the rationale behind the blue lot? I know we've got a lot of feedback on our side as well. You know, having that kind of an all skate, you know, having students there, having kids there, obviously Panther Walk. Is it just trying to build an atmosphere where you can there in one of the more popular lots by the Dome?
Yeah, you know, it's parking is a unique challenge playing in the Dome and. You know, certainly for us, we're trying to create an environment, a game day environment that is all Georgia State Panthers and our supporters. And, you know, the blue light gives us that opportunity. And we certainly don't want to share the prime parking that we do have, with fans of other teams. And so part of it is to put value to being a PAC member, put value to being a season ticket holder, and obviously do some exciting engagement opportunities pregame, like every other school does from a tailgating standpoint. And so kind of create our own space the six or seven times a year that we'll play, you know, in the Dome for this last year. So we're excited about it. Obviously, there may be some, you know, things that we have to adjust after the first game, but we certainly think that it's a much better environment. And we've had a tremendous response. I mean, I think we've got, I want to say, less than 20 passes available for the blue lot. So we think it's an awesome opportunity for Georgia State fans pregame to get together and know each other. Part of the benefit of being a season ticket holder is you know where you're going to sit, you know who you're going to sit next to, and you start building that sense of community with friends and family that are around you around football games. And so we're trying to build a little bit of a culture there, and certainly hopefully, you know, can transition where we play, you know, going forward.
Well, and I know you talked about 20 passes left there for the blue lot. I got a chance to talk to Reed Beasley yesterday at practice, and he said space is very limited as well for the kickoff luncheon coming up in a couple of weeks there at Turner Field. Sounds like we are interest is definitely high, which continues to be there. My dad and I will make the trek as well to Turner Field. I'm looking forward to hearing Coach Miles speak and preview that, and would encourage anybody to go online or any questions and things like that. We'll put the link there as well in the podcast body as we're continuing to get closer and closer to football. Last football question for me specifically. I know our friend Doug Robertson of the AJC. Hi, Doug. Hopefully he's listening. Reported at the end of last year that you guys had potentially talked with Coach Miles about an extension. Is there any status update there at all, or is that going to kind of be a wait-and-see thing maybe toward the end of the season?
No, it's something that we work on every day, and, you know, it's a matter of just, you know, putting pen to paper and getting it done. So it's the great part about Trent, he's got a great staff. He's a very good coach. Our kids are playing hard, and I think you saw the results on the back half of the season. So we want Trent to be the football coach here for a while and expect it. Sometimes you got to work things out beyond just talking about them. So we look forward to that materializing and getting through and getting ready for the start of the season.
Glad to hear that for sure. Well, there are other seasons kicking off as well. We, you know, between volleyball and soccer, I know soccer is near and dear to your household, and go from there. We have a brand new coach as well within the program and the Panther family, if you will. Do you put specific goals on new coaches? You know, we talk when there's anytime there's transition, and you've been in college athletics, you know, a long time. It's a situation where, you know, you have a new coach, a new standard, set of goals that way. Do you see it? Do you give those new coaches a little bit of leeway there to, you know, because obviously they're not their players. They are not necessarily recruited in most cases. Everyone's not going to have the wild success that a Ron Hunter will the first year or things like that. A lot of times there's some growing pains. And what's kind of your view from an AD side of things and from the AD's chair on a new coach?
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, you got to assess where the program is when a coach comes in. Is it a rebuilding opportunity, or is it a maintenance opportunity, or is it a growth opportunity? And we have metrics that we judge coaches, you know, for a lot of different reasons, including wins and losses, but also recruiting, but also academics, also community service, you know, in line with where we are in terms of building our culture. And so we definitely spent a lot of time, whether it's a first-year coach or a 10th-year coach, talking about goals and objectives for each season and across a myriad of you know, metrics to judge. And so, yeah, absolutely. I got asked yesterday, you know, what I thought about our fall teams, and I think, you know, I took it beyond just the fall teams and just in a general global view of all our teams. I feel really confident about the competitive success of all our teams. Each program has their own unique opportunities and challenges, but the reality is we feel like we're going to be competitive in every sport with every team this year, and that's an exciting thing to think, you know, for an academic year, that we continue to be competitive. I know Ron wants to bounce back from the season he had. You know, it's beach volleyball's had a great 2-year run. We certainly think they're going to be able to rebuild and stay competitive, and so we can go on down the line. And so our coaches are excited, and we get started. We really get started around here next week, but the fall sports have been here training for about a week now, and it's exciting to see the energy and excitement around everybody's faces.
You know, and you and I have talked about that as well. When the student athletes actually get on campus, there is almost like a different level and an energy level that almost rises with it. And then obviously when the students get back, you know, the rest of the, you know, the classes start and things like that, there is a different level of energy in it. And I'm sure it rubs off on athletics as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's just, it's what it makes it, makes it exciting and energetic to start your day and then, you know, go through into the night. So it's, you know, it's a 7-day-a-week job now. So it's, that's the fun part.
No doubt about it. Well, Charlie, I appreciate it, man. Busy Friday and busy season, as we talked about with sports kicking off, and encourage anyone to get down to the open scrimmage there on the 20th. Definitely take a look, and we'll put the link there to get those last remaining seats there at the football luncheon. And got a lot of stuff going, man. It's this is the fun part. Like you said, 7 days a week, no days off for you, I would imagine, for the next little while.
Our slogan is take the next step, and that's what we're doing. So I appreciate everybody's support, and bring somebody else with you. That's the best part about it. We need to grow this thing and have an unbelievable opportunity to do it, and now's the time. So excited about it.
Absolutely. We're excited as well, Charlie, man. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Ben, always, man. Thank you.